Hey, what's up, boo?
I'm Annette.
I'm John Holmes.
I'm Arnette.
Arnette.
Every time I come in here, you guys have hot topics going.
Your own Wendy show, right?
If you want to know what women are thinking on any topic, you need to go to the beauty shop. We visited Arnette Linen's shop, just a few miles from Bill Cosby's home outside of Philadelphia.
Ladies, I'm intruding on your privacy. They want to talk about Bill Cosby's trial or you feel about the second trial. We all live in Montgomery County.
As more and more women have stepped into the public eye to say Bill Cosby drugged and raped them, we wonder about one other woman, Camille Cosby. His wife of over 50 years, she's like the Mona Lisa, silent and smiling as if she has a secret. What are we to make of her? Arnette led us to the shop's senior stateswoman for her take.
No pictures.
No, just
to hear what you have to.
Under the hairdryer sits Dora Campbell. She sports frosted blue nails and fuchsia leather pants. Oh, and she's 92.
They don't know anything about her. They only know what they think they know. Until you've been there, you really don't know.
From WHYY in Philadelphia, this is Cosby Unraveled. I'm your host, Annette John Hall. Can you imagine if your husband is accused of what Bill Cosby is accused of? It's so awful. It's so public. Can you even fathom what Camille Cosby might be going through?
It's hurtful. After all, most of us are mothers, wives, and we know how we would feel if this happened to us.
Miss Dora is a retired educator, and she's old school. She admires folks who, as my mother used to say, don't put their business in the street.
I think she's smart to not come out and get involved. I think she hurts, but that's her business. And that's her husband. Because what are they going to do? Take the dirt and add more dirt?
And as a woman, you've got to feel empathy for her, right? Well, not necessarily.
I really feel bad for her to a point.
We asked Arnette, the shop owner, a more pointed question about Camille.
So is she a victim or is she an enabler?
Enabler. If she was a victim, she'd have left. She decided to stay. And he's still doing the same thing over and over again. And you've been hearing these rumors. You might not have seen with your eyes, but the rumors are always there.
We don't know what Camille Cosby knew about the alleged sexual assaults her husband is accused of. But she has acknowledged in the past knowing about her husband's infidelities. And Lennon says that kind of knowledge requires some follow-up.
She had to ask him some questions. Come on, boo-boo, what's going on here? Come on. And I heard this. Is it true? And he might say, oh, no, and he give her another $20 million or whatever the case may be. And she just shut up. And you do your thing and I do mine.
Camille Hanks, the daughter of an accomplished family, met Cosby, born poor in North Philly, on a blind date during her sophomore year at the University of Maryland. Bill was a 26-year-old rising star when they married in 1964. Camille was only 19. As Cosby's fame rose, Camille became his business manager, and the two were seen as one of the most powerful black couples in Hollywood.
Picture pages, time to get your picture pages.
She even appeared with him on an episode of his 80s children's show, Picture Pages.
Open up your picture pages, time to watch Bill Cosby do a picture page with you.
Well, there you are and here I am. And this is the way I looked when I was in school, way back in the horse and buggy days. You see, I had this really mean teacher named Miss Camille. And whenever I said the wrong thing, she'd say,
William, march yourself right into that corner and put that dunce cap on your head.
Now that's how I'd wind up over here wearing a dunce
cap. When The Cosby Show took the nation by storm in the 80s, the character of Claire Huxtable, smart, beautiful, and sophisticated, was said to be based on Camille.
No, Christine, it won't be any problem coming to your party. You see, my mom is going to be in Washington, so she'll never find out. It's perfect timing. Yeah, let me get a pencil to write down your address. Christine, let me call you back. Bye.
Christine?
Yeah.
Christine from your aerobics class, the college student?
Yeah.
So what's going on at her apartment tomorrow night?
She's just having a few friends over.
I see. You're not going to a college party where they're going to be guys 4 and 5 years older than you. Forget it.
Mom, can I help it if I'm so mature that older men find me attractive? You're forcing me to socialize with people my own age, and it's holding back my intellectual development.
Darling, what I'm holding back here has nothing to do with intellect. Now, don't think because I'm in Washington, you can just up and do as you please, and I won't know about it. I have eyes and ears everywhere, dear.
Well, I might as well be living in a prison.
Don't worry about it. One day you'll have children. You'll have a lifetime sentence.
I think about Camille a lot, and I think about Camille in this way. Wow.
Dr. Anthea Butler is an associate professor of religion and Africana studies at the University of Pennsylvania.
I think it's one thing if you overlook your husband cheating. It's another thing to overlook the kinds of things that Bill Cosby is accused of and still, A, remain by his side, and B, say the things that you've said about these women disparagingly.
Since the first public allegations emerged against Bill Cosby, Camille has stood by her man. And in 2014, when allegations seemed to reach a peak, she released this statement.
Camille Cosby slammed the media, saying, "There appears to be no vetting of my husband's accusers before stories are published or aired." She compared the scandal to a now discredited Rolling Stone article about an alleged gang rape at the University of Virginia. Cosby continued, "None of us will ever want to be in the position of attacking a victim. But the question should be asked, who is the victim?"
You can get a hint of where Camille stands from her 2016 deposition in a libel suit brought by 7 women. She refused to answer most questions, invoking marital privilege or saying she couldn't remember. Again, Dr. Anthea Butler.
You can think about looking the other way, right? And if you are a wife, it is very difficult if your husband is cheating on you, right? This seems to be something else altogether. It's not just he cheated on me. Let's say allegedly, if these things allegedly happen, then it's I'm drugging women and I'm raping them. And if you looked away from that, if you knew it was going on, I don't know that she knew it was going on. I'm not saying it happened. But that's, you know, that's something that has to be on her conscience.
The one thing we do know is that Camille has no appetite for courtroom drama. She showed up at the courthouse arm in arm with Bill and wearing a dazed smile only once during his first trial. And after the judge declared a mistrial in June of 2017, a spokeswoman read a scorched earth statement signed by Camille that bashed everybody except her husband.
How do I describe the district attorney? Heinously and exploitively ambitious. How do I describe the judge? Overtly arrogant and collaborating with the district attorney. How do I describe the counsels for the accusers? Totally unethical. How do I describe many, but not all, general media? Blatantly vicious entities that continually disseminated intentional omissions of truths for the primary purpose of greedily selling sensationalism at the expense of a human life.
As the good wife, Camille is criticized for her silence and for sticking up for her man. It's damned if you do, damned if you don't.
It just looked very bad for her to speak out about the case when she didn't need to say anything. She could have remained elegant and silent, and she chose not to. And what she said made it look a lot more unelegant. Let's put it that way.
When you think about the Cosby trial, the whole situation, it's hard not to wonder about Camille. Is she the tragic, long-suffering character in this drama, standing by her man, a victim, or an enabler who may have known about her husband's potential crimes and did nothing? But if Camille is complicit, she can't be the only one. If the acts that Cosby is accused of are true, then somebody had to be around to see it, right?
It's been now 45 years, almost 45 years, and I kept thinking about the handler, this enabler, or the enablers throughout the years.
On a previous episode, Spanish Fly, we heard from a new accuser who told her story about an encounter with Cosby in the summer of 1974 when she was a teen. Cosby spotted her training at a ski camp in Lake Tahoe. After he left, one of his assistants approached her.
These sort of nondescript sidekicks, the man who came back to the trampoline with a piece of paper, who asked me to come to the show, who stood outside the door while he knew I was alone with Mr. Cosby in his dressing room.
If that sidekick knew what she alleges took place inside, how could he let it happen to a 16-year-old girl?
When you see that kind of behavior, it could be for a variety of reasons. It could be that they're getting something out of that relationship.
Mary Ellen O'Toole is a former FBI profiler who directs the forensic science program at George Mason University. She says it's a two-way street. Cosby has money, power, and celebrity. It's heady stuff to be part of that.
They're getting a good salary. They're getting all the promotions. So they're getting some benefit in staying in that relationship. And it could also be, and I saw this over the years, bystanders can get to the point where they normalize or rationalize or explain away the behavior. And they do it to kind of soothe their own conscience.
Enablers are often on the perpetrator's payroll. They could be a chauffeur, an assistant, a manager, a teammate. In the case of film producer Harvey Weinstein, who is accused of sexual harassment and assault, female assistants known as honeypots would lure potential victims. O'Toole warns people don't realize that once you've surrendered your ethics and integrity by being a bystander or an enabler, you're compromised.
There is no going back because you are now a part of this crime.
Miss Dora, remember her from the beauty shop? She really didn't want to get into the tawdry details of the trial.
The Cosby Show, that to me was really wonderful. And it to me, all of this now is very hurtful.
She prefers to remember Cosby as the family man on TV and the trustee who signed her diploma when she graduated from Temple University later in life. But some students at Cosby's alma mater don't feel the same.
Shame on you! Shame on you! Shame on you!
On a windy spring day, a few dozen students gathered at a crossroads in the heart of Temple University's campus.
I'd like to remind you of a sexual assault case that's quite important to the history of our university. The victim, former Temple University employee Andrea Constant.
The group is protesting a new $3.5 million plaza. In the center, a bronze owl perched on a T for Temple. Engraved on the base is the name, Patrick O'Connor, the university's Board of Trustees chairman.
Hey, hey, ho, ho! Patrick O'Connor has got to go! Hey, hey, ho, ho!
They're protesting O'Connor because of his involvement with Temple's most famous alum, Bill Cosby.
In 2005... Cosby was represented in the case against Andrea Constant's sexual assault claims by none other than our chairman of our very own Board of Trustees, Mr. Patrick O'Connor.
O'Connor, a potential witness in the retrial, was an attorney for Cosby against Andrea Constant's initial claims of sexual assault. We learned at the start of this trial that Cosby paid out almost $3.4 million to Constant in a civil suit. That's about the same amount as the cost of the plaza. Like any person accused of a crime, Cosby has a right to defend himself and to an attorney. But freshman Hector Bellarmino takes issue with O'Connor, and by extension, Temple's role in the case.
It's really difficult for people to take pride in Temple University and then also learn at the same time one of our alumni took part in this horrific act. A lot of people would rather look at O'Connor Plaza over there and think, ah, look at this well-made structure or whatever. I love this. But they don't want to look into the fact that, like, this is this is problematic.
After all these years, the new Cosby accuser we spoke to didn't want her name mentioned. She wanted to remain anonymous.
Even now, I think when I tell people, it changes in some small way their relationship with me. And I didn't want to give Mr. Cosby that power.
But she was inspired to speak out because of the Me Too movement and applauds those who have stood up to their perpetrators. She hopes that witnesses, bystanders, and even enablers will have the guts to do the same.
I think many of these handlers were caught up also in the power of the entourage. And probably the acts that they performed, the tasks that they did were incremental. And the trust that Cosby had in them to, you know, really perform the ultimate secret act was probably very intoxicating. And I'm hoping that they now realize how many people were hurt and start coming forward the way the women have come forward.
Next time on Cosby Unraveled, we get an update on the trial from reporter Dana DiFilippo. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Special thanks to musicians Tony Trove and Mike Vivas, to Charlie Kyer and Adam Staniszewski for engineering help. Sandra Clark is WHYY's Vice President of News and Civic Dialogue. Cosby Unraveled was produced by Jeanette Woods and Lindsay Lazarski. I'm Annette John Hall.